always pleased when new things happen in our city, and especially in this sense that what is Spokane's identity, what is here, and how do we need to have more resources, to find more things, and especially in the world of art when that happens. So I'm really pleased that there's a major opening tonight for the Richmond Gallery, I believe it is called. And one by one, we're going to go kind of to the two people from around here who have put it together, to the artist who has been brought in, and then to the also to the musician who will be performing. We begin with you, Anne Claire Mitchell. Good morning, Anne Claire.
Morning, Baron. Thanks for having us.
Let's just start right off. You were a little kid growing up in Spokane, your hometown, and you went far away and you've come back. Tell us about, tell me about coming back.
Yeah, I was gone for a while, experiencing life as young people do. But I've been back here in Spokane for about 3 or 4 years now, and the community culturally and artistically has transformed in ways that I think a lot of us growing up in the 90s never thought possible. Mm-hmm. So,
and it's been a great concern of are we going to be static and not go anywhere. So talk a little bit more about the transformation that you've seen.
Sure. Well, I think that Spokane, one of the interesting things about this area is that we don't have a history as being a major arts and culture center. Our society here was kind of founded on industry work, lots of blue collar work, lots of people making things with their hands for production, and it's really created, you know, from that I think we have a little bit of a different idea about maybe how to conceptualize art and what art actually is. We have a bunch of we have a bunch of people who know how to do things from a utilitarian standpoint, and I think just now, since I've been back, I've noticed those people starting to branch out into the more conceptual side of what they're doing, and that's been really cool. I'm seeing more mixed-use creative spaces popping up all over the city, and a larger grassroots movement that's responding to a need for more creative space for people to focus on what they make.
And so we'll get into some of those details that you've outlined. And you yourself, in doing this, have allied yourself with something well-known in Seattle and not so well-known around here. Tell us about Artist Trust.
Artist Trust is a statewide nonprofit, and they're... their platform is providing grant and funding opportunities for individual artists around the state, which is kind of a unique model. Most funding organizations for the arts occur on a public scale or a strictly project-based scale. And Artist Trust is unique in the sense that they, in some cases, unrestricted funding for individual artists just to develop their practice and have the space and the time and the resources to focus on what they're doing, rather than create a specific project necessarily that panders to a funding opportunity.
And are you kind of their first official missionary to Spokane?
Artist Trust has always had a presence in Spokane. They've always had an outreach strategy for Spokane, and there are a number of local artists who have been funded and successful through the Artist Trust program. But yeah, I'll be the first physically boots on the ground person trying to engage the community and make sure that everybody's aware of all of the funding opportunities that are available to them, and that Artist Trust as a statewide organization really wants to develop more engagement with the Eastern Washington community, because we have a slightly different way of doing things. Our aesthetic is a little bit different out here,
than
Seattle. We're very DIY. I think that we're treated as a little bit more of the Wild West of Washington. Even though we're on the east side of the Cascades, and because our arts movement evolved from post-industrialism, basically, so everything is our strong suits here, I think, are we have sort of this nouveau craft aesthetic, and we're really strong in emerging and experimental disciplines, and obviously literature, which is not the same as what the primary and popular disciplines are on the West Coast.
But we're working on visual art on the radio right now, and when you came here, you had to get allies. So tell me about coming into contact with Rebecca Chadwell.
I think Rebecca and I have. I think the story of how we met changes depending on who we're telling it to, and depending on where we are in memory. But I was introduced to her through a mutual friend. Rebecca was, at the time, was involved with the Ink Art Space when it was first being conceived. They're now a really successful organization that is partnered with Spark Center over in Kendall Yards. But Rebecca was involved with that from the beginning. And the arts community in Spokane, one of the things I love about it is that it's very tightly knit. And we all function as a little family. Everybody tends to know everyone else and is familiar with what everybody else is doing. And so I was introduced to Rebecca through a mutual friend via the Ink platform. And I had just developed this concept of, I had just moved back from Spokane. I had just developed this concept of, well, you know, I think that if I'm going to live here and I want my friends to live here permanently, I think that it'll be important for all of us to start banding together and creating our own space from the ground up. And that's going to, in turn, incentivize wider community change and maybe eventually policy. I think sometimes when you're trying to create an arts culture from the top down, it tends to get stuck a lot in the red tape. And so from the community level, it's a bi-directional movement. I think that there's no such thing as trickle-down art. Mm. But anyway, I met Rebecca through a mutual friend, and I remember explaining this idea to her that, well, we've been given the use of this building, and I've been given pretty free license to make creative spaces out of it. And she loved the idea and was the first person to come on board, and she's been really instrumental in the process, program development, helping me keep my sanity. Mm. And she's very technologically competent, mm-hmm. too, which I am not.
Before we get to Rebecca, I will mention that the building is essentially across from the train station. It's the building that houses the Bartlett and that building, 228 West Sprague. And so we'll get to that. So, Rebecca, let's make you defend yourself here. Why? Who are you? What do you do? And why are you the right person to be doing this? Go for it. Pretend we're about to vote for you.
Oh, boy. In that case, I would probably find a few people to represent me, and I would be hiding in the back, sort of slowly making things happen in the most invisible way possible. But
are you an artist yourself?
I am. Let's start there. Yeah, I am an artist myself. I work in a lot of different mediums. I started out in writing and film, and then slowly moved into audio production. An installation. And so just being sort of familiar with the process of different disciplines is a great way to be able to sort of network among my peers and say, oh, what's your project? How can we make this happen? And the involvement with the collective and the presentations that we have, I hear over and over from people. Spokane, I wasn't sure when I came here, you know, working on these projects. Spokane is an amazing community, and the people here are so competent and so helpful and so friendly. And I don't think somebody from out of town, I'm also from here, which I love, mm-hmm. and I'm growing to love more, would say, oh, Spokane is this amazing center for arts. There's so much to explore here. There's so much to wonder about. But along with the growth of the culture of our city from like industrialness, I guess. Mm. the competence allows for things to happen here that maybe wouldn't otherwise happen.
Yeah. So let's get right into the overview of the Richmond et cetera. First, Richmond is the name of the building, right? The historical name of the big brick building that you're in. And you have, what, a Richmond Gallery and a Richmond Art Collective? Are those your two major thrusts right now?
They are, and it's really a collaborative effort of the community. We also house the Laboratory Interactive Residency, which brings people here from all over the world for their interactive and digitally focused projects.
Is that going on right now?
It is. Actually, they have sort of like rolling expos. There's always something happening. There's one this Sunday. Hey Yoon has a show. And I think she has a PhD in interactive art or digital art from somewhere. Somewhere very important.
She's visiting.
Thank you, Aunt Claire.
She's what?
She's visiting from Korea.
Yeah, because you are really, it's not just local. You have people from everywhere coming for your residency, right?
Yeah, and one of the more important aspects about knowing what our identity is as a city is being able to have this creative exchange with people from elsewhere, and they can look into what's familiar to us and say, this is amazing, look what you have here that we couldn't find anywhere else, so...
And it also, and I think the whole idea of an exchange is that it's also really important for our local art scene to be introduced to new methods of delivery and new narratives, and vice versa. And hopefully, by bringing in visiting artists from elsewhere, our local artists can start to develop networks for themselves as well.
Mm-hmm. So this is this is kind of your coming out party tonight, isn't it? In a way because
I feel like we should be in debutante attire.
I think you should because it's from 6 to 9 tonight at the Richmond Building, which is 228 West Sprague. It's the building that holds the Bartlett, and it's just to the east of 9, and across the street from the. From the train station. So that's the event. And even before we get to the artists that you brought in, let's talk a little bit about the music, because you have to have a sense of event. Talk about the music that you have, the sound. You're the one, I think, that's involved with these sounds, aren't you?
Oh, sure.
So introduce Julian and what he's going to be doing.
Yeah, this is Julian Cooper, and he plays the kora. It's a traditional instrument from West Africa, and he has a fascinating story that you can learn more about online at Kora by Cooper. He's also on...
How do you spell Kora?
K-O-R-A.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And it's... I think the theme behind everything that I do and everything that we're collaborating toward is making wonder. And so anything that fosters exchange and just sort of resonates within our community, I think is fantastic. And I would hope that we can all join forces to bring more of. So Julian's definitely a part of that.
Good. Well, let's take a little break from words and have Julian Cooper play something on the kora for us. In just a moment, we'll be ready to do this. Okay, Julian, go ahead. Thank you. And we were just hearing from Julian. Julian Cooper. Julian, bring the microphone a little to you there, and tell me, what was the name of the piece you just played?
Originally, it's called La Diabase. It's a traditional name. It's also called Cherie in French, which means darling, so yeah. That was a morning song.
And describe a bit about your instrument. How many strings does it have?
So the kora is a West African harp that has 21 strings. And it's been here for several hundred years. And now it's going, its popularity is growing very big on the whole planet. I mean, I met the instrument, my first master, about 20 years ago. It's going to be our anniversary of friendship next summer. And right now I'm holding another kind of instrument. It's an electroacoustic contraption that I invented so that it fits on the plane, so that I can meet my friends here in Spokane, and with some other contraption and a kind of portable amp that I designed as well.
So this is what you do. This is the focus of your life, is playing this instrument and making these instruments and such.
You can put it this way. The kora itself has brought me to a lot of places and meet a lot of people, including here. And then it even has drawn me to being a business owner, that because I invented these kind of portable amps, and I'm starting a business right now in France.
In France,
and
yeah.
Maybe, hopefully, in the States.
Nice.
Someday.
Okay, that's Julian Cooper, who will be playing. Thank you, Julian. Will be playing tonight at the opening. At the opening from 6 to 9, at the Richmond Building, which is 228 West Sprague. So let's get in. Let's get into the main event, which is Niall Livingston coming to town. And who found her, and how?
4 or 5 years ago, I was working on a film project in Philadelphia and had the opportunity to meet Niall through that creative work, and just found a really genuine, creative, and strong, I think, kinship with her. Mm. And so having the opportunity to have to bring these wonderful people that I know with this amazing energy to our town, and she's definitely part of that.
Good. Yeah. Well, Niall, welcome to Spokane.
Thanks so much for having me.
You've just been here for a few hours, I presume, or a day or something like that.
Yeah, and this place is gorgeous. I love the tall trees and the snow.
Good. Well, welcome to that. Yeah, we made sure it was pretty for you right now. So talk about yourself as an artist. Have you all your life simply made stuff?
Yes, definitely. Growing up, I tried other forms of expression, like music and dance, but I think I fell in love with visual art because I learned how limitless it can be. I can use different materials, such as graphic design and sculpture and painting. And the reason why I fell in love with art is because it allowed me to express myself, and I saw value in bringing people together, so my main focus with art became community building. Yeah.
So talk about that. What's the practical, exact way you use art for community building?
I try to involve people, others, in the process. For example, I love working on murals, which are large scale, and it's about bringing people together to make something larger than just our individual selves. Art, growing up with, I was kind of like awkward and shy, definitely. Mm-hmm. So when I learned, when I went to Kutztown University, I was extremely bored, but I learned how to create my own fun and bring other people into it. And, together we definitely made some interesting things. So it's definitely about the exchange of ideas.
So let's talk a little bit about the creative stuff you're going to be doing in Spokane, because you're going to be here for a few days, aren't you, and doing some events next week, too. So beyond tonight's opening, where you'll be. But what are you going to be creating in Spokane?
I'm going to be installing a wheat paste of Nina Simone inside the gallery.
A what?
A wheat paste, which is it's something that graffiti artists use because it's extremely affordable. It uses household materials. Wheat from your kitchen, you can mix it with sugar and warm water, and it creates an extremely strong glue. It's great for installing large billboards, and it's great for public art, and a lot of activists use it as well.
And so you're going to be doing that? But
teaching the process, yeah, of how to mix the wheat paste and apply it to the wall.
And there was a discussion that weather permitting, you'd be doing something outside. Is the weather going to permit?
The blizzard, I don't know, it's been so sporadic. I don't know what the weather has. So just to play it safe, we're going to install it inside.
Okay.
Yeah.
I noticed a little graffiti on the outside of the building today. Was that part of what you, somebody had tagged it, was it?
That's just a little extra flair.
of tagging. And my guest, Nia Livingston from Philadelphia, who's here, talk a little bit more about this very thing, about tagging, about people's art, about the limits of expression, and defend tagging if you can. Is it?
I personally am not an artist that does tagging, but I understand it. It's like, it reminds me a lot of like Basquiat and just being able to communicate with people, leaving a message behind. For some, it's like marking your territory, saying I've been here, and to see how wide you can, how wide of an audience you can reach with tagging. So yeah, I think it's interesting. Also, just to like transform letters into something super abstract. Sometimes they're really hard to even read and understand what the original words were. But I just think overall public art is fantastic. Yeah.
Including people's art. I mean, as opposed to public art that's had to go through juries and government boards and agencies and everything else.
Yeah, art for the people, folk art, yeah, anything. Also, like, how accessible it is, exploring different materials, found object art. I don't think you need to be an artist to make art at all, as long as you have curiosity and compassion and you're willing to explore how to assemble different things, you can definitely produce something interesting.
Yeah, my guest, Nia Livingston, the artist who's in town. Among you all, let's talk a little bit more about the, in addition to tonight's opening between 6 and 9, what are some of the other events that Nia is going to be doing?
Well, Eastern Washington University has been really generous in partnering with us to bring Nia out here. So she, on the 11th of January...
Which is Monday,
at 11:30 in the morning. She'll be delivering a slide lecture out at the Pence Union Building on the concept of community building through art and you know, transcending cultural bias through art, and I'll let her speak to her topics. But
yeah, I definitely want to focus on like the ups and downs and being able to use creative thinking to accomplish a goal, and talk a little bit about like some obstacles that I had to face and how I use problem solving.
Well, give an example of an obstacle one faces and the problem solving to get around it.
Okay. For example, when I first graduated from school, I had a hard time finding a job. But my friend Tiana Jackson, who's studying art management, she went into a community center and was talking to the kids who play in the playground there. And so she invited me to come speak to them as well, and we hosted a workshop to teach them about murals. And this was all volunteer work, and it was a rush project. But we were able to get donations from Home Depot, Lowe's, and Tasty Cake Factory. And we talked to the kids. They helped us design the mural. And I think that was pretty amazing because it led to more opportunities to produce public art. And so in terms of like problem solving, one obstacle is that we didn't have enough time to get insurance for scaffolding. So we just used large ladders, and people from the neighborhood came and helped us. And we used a paint-by-number system, kind of like you see in coloring books, so that people of all ages and all levels can help participate in the process. So that's an example of how art can be used for problem-solving.
Great.
Yeah.
Niall Livingston, who's in town to do some things and related to that. And Rebecca, yeah.
And that lecture is January 11th from 11:30 to 1 p.m. That will take place at the EWU's Pence Union Building, rooms 263, 265, and 267, and that's free and open to the public. So I hope to see you there because it should be really great.
And any other events that you have over this next few days? Will you be then, because we talked earlier about the collective, and you have these other artists around, you're going to have some interface here, or mm-hmm. is it, you just look for organic interface?
Yeah. At some point you have to let things happen organically and let the reins go. My experience with artists is that you can't micromanage them. It's that doesn't work. And it doesn't provide a valuable product for the community. So one of the things that I really have enjoyed about living and working in the art collective is that those exchanges do happen organically. And the even though we're more of a process-based organization where the goal is to provide artists with the space and time to experiment and become more self-aware through their own processes, the products also then, when there are no time or budget constraints, when there are no commissions involved, the products end up being really, really, really interesting, and they're usually very multidisciplinary. And so my hope with Niall being here also is that she's going to be able to interface with our resident artists too, and that good things will come from that.
And for people listening, what's the easiest memorable way to remember how to get in touch with you? What's your website name, or what do they Google?
They can just head to richmondartcollective.com or visit Richmond Art Collective on Facebook. And just a brief rundown of our events. Hey Yoon has an expo on Sunday, January 10th. You can find out more about that at the Laboratory Spokane site on Facebook. And then Spokane WAM is a new organization that focuses on women in art and media. We'll have an expo January 28th between the Bartlett and the Richmond Gallery. And then in February, we'll have a group show as part of the Spokane Arts Month. And that's supported in part by Spokane Arts and should be fantastic. And that's a great chance to come down and sort of interface with the collective and just see what all of these exciting programs and things to wonder about really are.
Yeah. And also the Visual Arts Month is when the entire community decides to sort of, in a concerted effort, launch a coordinated arts, a whole bunch of coordinated arts goings on around town.
And so that's February.
That's February.
The month
of
February.
Yep.
Okay. And so right now for the immediate thing, it was Richmond Art Gallery.com or just
richmondartcollective.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the memorable thing. If one's driving, they can remember that.
richmondartcollective.com.
Hashtag RAC, R-A-C, Spokane.
Okay, now you made it more confusing, but people will figure it out. Okay, my guests here, let's do this. Let's go out with a little bit more music. Julian has his instrument still in his hand, and let me get us ready for it. And first, before you start too much, Julian, let me thank you and Claire for coming in.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us, Vern.
And Rebecca Chadwell.
Thank you, Vern.
And especially our guest, Niall Livingston. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Okay, let's go out with Julian Cooper playing us a little bit more music. Thank you. Julian Cooper playing the kora. He will be there tonight. The there is 228 West Sprague. It's the building which houses the Bartlett, which is a venue that many of us know about, and that will be the Richmond Art Gallery, the Richmond Art Collective's opening from 6 to 9, including with the guest, Niall Livingston. So thank you all, and we look forward to much more from this group.